know, and Kawhi, I'll be surprised if he returns this season. Well, we only have X number of games left this season, and he's still not ready to go. And if by some chance he is, it's going to be pretty late into the season. And it's
Welcome to episode 14 of the Volume Shooters podcast. Mitch, we thought maybe this week would be a quiet week in the NBA with the All-Star game going on, and there hasn't been basketball in 5 days, but the NBA never sleeps, and Greg Popovich, getting ready for practice before the second half of the season, decided to send a message to his superstar Kawhi Leonard by basically doing something he never actually ever does, which is go out to the media and basically send a shot to his best players saying, hey, he's not coming back, and if he doesn't decide to come back, we're going to move on without him.
Yeah, I mean, I was on this pretty early, to be honest, and
definitely were all over this.
Yeah, and I've had some fiery hot takes. We've heard from the listeners. We're going to hear from a listener during this episode about where your takes stand for a chance, for a change. But anyway, I was on this saying I thought Kawhi might not play this season. I had a take a couple weeks ago, which we heard from some listeners on, where I say Kawhi might be out of the league within 5 years.
You basically said that you don't think he has a desire to play basketball, almost like Deron Williams. You compared him to Deron Williams a couple times.
I mean, yeah, I see it there. I see Kawhi's demeanor, which is very, like, sleepish. You know, he always looks like he's half asleep. He looks kind of tuned out. I think the real fiery guys in the league, we're gonna play a clip later on our social media moment of the week from Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is thought to be the standard bearer of a passionate guy. Compare Russell Westbrook's demeanor to Kawhi's demeanor. We discussed the All-Star game. Guys want it, guys don't want it. Kawhi Leonard's a classic case of a guy who's a great player. In the All-Star game, he would just, he would be sleeping. He doesn't care.
But here's the deal. The thing that we automatically assume when we talk about the Spurs is that this is like everybody behaves, everybody falls in line behind Popovich, does whatever he wants. Everybody's a robot, right? And maybe it's not true. Maybe just Tim Duncan was a superstar there for 15 years who was their best player and led the team, and it doesn't apply anymore. The situation with Kawhi Leonard is different than the situation with Tim Duncan, with Tim. Actually, an NBA superstar, anybody else. Why don't you automatically assume that it's not, that everything's different here?
I mean, it certainly seems, what am I going to say? It's kind of surprising because Pop did seem to be like a dictator. He really just always seemed to have a handle on all the guys, no matter how good they were. But I don't know. Kawhi's a different kind of cat. We can't just say everyone is going to fit with the Spurs model anymore.
We don't know that for sure. And we also don't know. What we do know is that Kawhi Leonard is eligible for the Supermax this summer. The Spurs can extend him to the $220 million five-year contract, the Russell Westbrook contract, basically, and the Steph Curry contract. And if I was Kawhi Leonard and I'm not ready, I don't feel ready to play, I'm not pulling an Isaiah Thomas. I'm not going out there middle of February to help this Spurs team that really can't win the championship anyways and risk rooting myself and losing $220 million. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Isaiah Thomas did this. Isaiah Thomas came back early from injury with his hip last year for the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas went out of his way to try to be a warrior and a team leader. And at the end of the day, the Celtics stuck a knife in his back and traded him. Kawhi Leonard has a lot of money on the line this summer. And I don't know if I'm Kawhi Leonard, whether I take the chance.
Is that what you think is happening, though? Like, do you think he actually kind of is hurt, or do you think he's mentally hurt? Because I don't get the sense. We have this whole thing going on with Markelle Fultz, which we've discussed a lot here. And it's like, is he really hurt? Is it the yips? Is it in his head? The question is Kawhi physically hurt? Because when the news came out this week, and they were tweeting out the news, all these beat writers, what they said was that Kawhi has said that he is not ready to play.
Correct.
They're not saying that he's physically unable.
Woj said that he spent 7 days around the All-Star break in New York getting his second. Spurs have said he's medically cleared to come back, and he went to New York to get a second opinion because he doesn't think he's medically cleared to come back. So clearly, there's a difference in opinion on his injury.
To me, it feels more like he wants to make it at this point in time, like that he doesn't want to play in San Antonio anymore, which is crazy. It's crazy that we're at this point.
It's a concept.
But
it
feels like he's dogging it until he gets out of here. And it feels like he just is delaying. Then the season will end. Then the offseason, it's going to be a Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes.
Trade, right?
Yeah, somebody's going to be after.
So every summer, there's somebody else, a great player that gets moved. He's an MVP candidate. You're going to trade him like you traded Kyrie Irving. You're going to trade him like you traded, you know, Jimmy Butler and Boogie Cousins. You can't move these kind of players every year. Like you've said this 100 times, you never get the return on investment that you think you're going to get when you trade a superstar.
So
is that what your recommendation is?
I I know they won't get equal value.
Right.
I really do.
Right.
And you know what? Today, Legion NBA, who we follow, fan of the show, he's actually tweeted us out.
Yeah.
He tweeted, this day last year was the day Boogie was traded.
Right.
And he tweeted what they got for Boogie. And it was Buddy Hield.
And
there was one other player I'm forgetting, like a younger player, but nothing.
The point is that you forgot him. Exactly.
Right, exactly. So that's what we know. But let me ask you a question. Give me an example of something you
like
think.
Like Jason Tatum, I need to get like a Cavaliers Nets type of pick.
Let's be clear.
That kind of draft pick.
Let's be clear. It's a 1-year rental. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you can't give him the. He'll be a free agent, unrestricted free agent, in the next season. The Spurs have the option to extend him now. Nobody else can extend him.
Let's say next summer. Let's say this coming summer he's traded.
Right.
It's for 1 year.
It's for 1 year, but you only trade for the guy like that if you assume you're going to give him this.
I went through this with the Nets and Darren Williams. They ended up getting to re-sign him, right. But there was no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
He was a free agent again.
Chris Paul theoretically is on a 1-year contract with the Rockets, but it's clearly a wink, wink. It's the same thing.
Here's the thing with Kawhi.
Hold
on. Here's the thing with Kawhi. He is such an under the radar guy. He's so potentially strange. I don't know if a team would feel comfortable knowing that he'll re-sign with them. Who knows where Kawhi wants to be? Does anybody?
Happened in the last 2 weeks, he's basically like a superstar diva like everybody else. You think of him as a robot who falls in line with the Spurs, but it's not true. He's exactly like Kevin Durant. He wants to pick where he plays. He wants to be clear.
Or,
he wants to be valued. He wants to get paid a lot.
Or Pop is nuts. No one's ever had the nuts to say it. Right? And now Kawhi's going to be the first guy who would just come out and say, like, by the way, Popovich abused me.
Yeah, I don't play for this guy anymore.
I don't want to play for this nut job.
Yeah, but it's been 20 years and they never heard that.
I know.
So you're telling me that everybody just falls in line?
I mean,
Tim Duncan was clearly the leader of the team before that, David Robinson. You probably had two of the greatest superstars as far as team leadership and being a good man in the community that you ever had. So everybody assumed automatically Kawhi Leonard was the next coming of that. And maybe Kawhi Leonard's a little bit like, I want to play in L.A. like everybody else. You can't blame him for that.
I don't know.
Because you took the opinion a couple weeks ago that his NBA desire, his desire to play basketball was gone. I don't think that's fair necessarily.
That's what I see out of him. I still see it out of him. And I think that anybody who gambles, we both discussed just now, I don't think it's going to be so much to get him. Anybody that gambles to give up something to get him is taking a risk.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, agreed.
But I think we've already spoken about it for about
a second.
7 minutes. So it's probably too long.
Let's just talk about the Spurs for a quick second.
Okay.
Assuming he doesn't come back this year, which
right.
We're assuming right now that Popovich said he's not coming back, basically.
Right, Popovich said.
They're going to lose in the first round, right?
Yeah, they're dead. Yeah.
They're going to be the 3 seed if they hold on to that 3 seed. Probably they won't. They're going to fall back to 5.
I'll put it to you this way. They're not a team to watch anymore.
Yeah, they could easily get upset by a team like Portland or Denver in the first round. And if that happens, he's definitely going to be on the trade market because he's not going to be a great franchise. LaMarcus Aldridge, we both know, is not a great player.
I think we're going to have to wrap this up here, but I think it's fascinating to see what San Antonio will get for him. Because yes. R.C. Buford, who runs San Antonio, always thought to be a phenomenal general manager. I don't know if he's ever been forced into a situation like this where he needs to make a trade.
No.
Welcome
to the rest of the league, R.C.
Yeah,
Buford.
I don't know.
If he does come back, though, I honestly believe that last year they would have given the Warriors a nice run. So I don't know necessarily why they have to give up on this. Comes back March 15th and plays a month of the NBA season, they could be rolling into the playoffs.
To see him play again for any team is going to be fascinating. The last time we saw him, he was still emerging as a top 5 NBA player. We haven't seen him now in a long time. I don't know what's left of him.
But I don't want the NBA playoffs to suffer. This is what keeps happening. These guys keep getting hurt. Boogie got injured for the season.
No.
The Pelicans were going to be a real playoff contender.
Yeah.
Now Jimmy Butler got injured on Friday night. You saw this?
Yeah, but
unfortunately, he tore his meniscus. It sounds like he's going to be back for the playoffs.
But just... because it's a good segue, compare Butler to Kawhi. Butler's a guy who wants it. He's hungry.
Hard.
He's a he's a dog,
yeah.
Butler.
Yeah.
So
yes.
So Butler's going to get back as soon as he can.
So and he said last night he's playing to be back for the playoffs, which is perfect timing. Now, talking about Jimmy Butler's injury, there's a lot of rumblings now that Tibbs is to blame for this. Tom Thibodeau has a reputation of playing his top 6 or 7 guys 40 minutes a night and overworking his players. But everybody else in the league, this goes back to his Bull days with Derrick Rose, right? And Joakim Noah. Everybody else in the league lessens the minutes of their players and rests guys and plays 30 minutes. Tom Thibodeau goes hard with his starters all the time. And Jimmy Butler's injury could be related to this coaching style.
So I'm usually kind of really on board with the players who say that like Thibodeau runs them into the ground, whatever.
Yes.
In this is a
known concept.
But in this particular case, okay, Butler did not play in the All-Star game. And
right,
by the way,
right,
there was a phenomenal social media exchange where I don't remember right now who it was, but one of the guys that got snubbed that was right on the border said it was a disgrace that Butler was put in and didn't play. And Butler said, do me a favor, dude. I'll put $100,000 on the line. We'll play one-on-one. I belong there and you did.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me buckets.
Yeah, so
he asked not to play, obviously.
He asked not to play because he said it was a hard,
He had a rough first half. He was already banged up a little bit.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's supposed to show you that he could have played 10 minutes and still tore his meniscus. It wouldn't have made a difference, right? So, he's injured. His injury is his injury. So, it's unfortunate.
So, at the end of the day, it was a non-contact injury. And it's coming off a period of time where Butler had taken a week off.
Right, it's true.
So, I'm not really sure. I mean, now look, Thibodeau, he runs him into the ground, and this is kind of the way he is, and whatever. But, this particular case, I'm not sure if you can blame it on that. Right. I don't know.
You'll know if Thibodeau's responsible for their season if they lose in the first round because they're exhausted and they get wiped out and they're benched.
So that you can blame on him. Right, can you blame this on him?
Also, I don't know. Just keep in mind that your bench players, they get better with experience. This has happened a lot in the past. And when guys get injured, you have a chance to put your 7th and 8th guys and 9th guys out there. And if those guys get experience in the regular season, that's when they make impacts in the playoffs. You can't expect these 9th and 10th players not to show up in the regular season and show up in the playoffs and have any impact. It just doesn't work that way. So speaking of the All-Star game, though, so you watched the All-Star game?
I want to say I watched about 7 off, then turned it off on a little bit after halftime, and then I watched the end.
Yes. So two things about the All-Star game. First of all, the pregame show, before the All-Star game even started, between the Fergie's national anthem and Kevin Hart's, did you see Kevin Hart? They had this whole bit with Rob Riggle and a bunch of guys introducing the players. It was the worst pregame show in the history of sports. It should have been in the Pro Bowl. That's how bad it was, okay? Until the game started, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is actually happening. Fergie's national anthem was the worst thing I've ever seen.
So Rob Riggle is uncomfortable to me. He's
he's
Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
These guys who are not funny, they just do a lot of weird stuff and you're supposed to laugh, but I never really got it. Will Ferrell is the king of that genre.
Yeah, I know.
Shout out to Mark.
Kevin Hart is supposed to be really funny, but I think there's a little overexposure there. We've seen a lot of Kevin Hart the last few years, especially around the NBA and in sports, and it's like, Kevin, just take a break, man. Take a couple of years off from
Stan,
from
I didn't
exposure.
Even realize it, but we have so many social media moment of the week candidates.
Unbelievable. The greatest national anthem is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
But you know what I'm getting at, right? The players' reactions.
Oh, my God. Draymond?
Oh, Draymond. But
his mouth wide open.
Like, act all serious. They're losing it.
She totally didn't realize it either, because when she finished, she's like, let's play some basketball. She thought she did it. She thought she nailed it. Knocked it out of the park. Honest to God, I could sing better. I could do a better job of the national anthem than that. It was an absolute disgrace to this country.
So God bless NBA Twitter, Worldwide Wob, the guys I follow, shouting out to them. But anyway, they're all saying stuff, and then Fergie is actually forced to make a statement the next day, which wasn't terrible, where she actually said, look, guys, I messed up.
I took a chance.
I tried to do something cool.
Right.
I didn't mean to, whatever. And then you have all these people going, y'all have a problem with Kaepernick kneeling. She just was more, she was more disrespectful to the flag than Colin Kaepernick could ever be.
Absolutely.
That was disgraceful.
She said straight out basically that I gave a bet my effort. I tried to do something new. It didn't work clearly. And I gave a shot. I swung for the fences and I missed.
But Draymond's reaction is all time. It's
but
first.
The All-Star game itself, by the way,
yes,
was fantastic.
And we said that
this concept totally worked, 100%.
We said that it might be. I still like East-West, and I still... Well, you and I wanted to see Russ versus KD.
Yeah.
I think it's super lame that LeBron picked both of them.
Yeah.
There should have been... And Adam Silver, FYI, widely regarded maybe as the best commissioner in sports today, had said immediately after the All-Star game, next year they're gonna televise that live.
Thanks, Adam.
It might be embarrassing to some people, but they need to televise that live.
Here's the thing. Kevin Love was clearly one of the last picks in the draft.
Yes.
Al Horford was clearly one of the last picks. And both of them said they don't care if it's televised.
End
of the day, if it gets televised and you pick last, you're the 24th best basketball player in the world, okay? It's not the end of the world.
So much social media stuff. Again, reminds me, Kevin Love responded to a tweet this week. I don't know if you saw this.
No.
Barstool Sports tweeted a gif of Kevin Love. They said Kevin Love fitting in on the Cavs, and it was a whole dance party, and there's one kid off to the side.
I saw that, yes.
And Kevin Love responded with a video.
Yeah, the video's fantastic.
Where he's showing himself unwrapping his championship ring from 2016.
Okay.
Why are you responding to this, Kevin Love? It just shows more and more that he is that guy.
And also,
he is that guy, and he's trying to convince people that he's not that guy.
He never fit in.
He doesn't fit in. We discussed it. And Barstool Sports Prez, Dave Portnoy from from Barstool Sports Press. He was like, I can't get over how awesome it is that he replied to this. Yeah. It just proves our point that he is that guy. Yes. And he's responding to it with a ring from 2016. Yeah. Like, dude.
I mean, basically saying he won a championship.
Yeah, there. Okay,
get
great.
Get off my back. But the All-Star Game thing definitely worked. The players were playing hard. The game came down to the last 30 seconds. And
you know what I like most about it? It came down to defense. Yes. They made a stop.
Yes, the lineup that they put out there, the Team LeBron at the end of the game, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. You literally cannot put out five better basketball players on a team. I mean, Steph Curry, by the way, looked absolutely terrible in the All-Star game. He did not make a shot for his
Warriors last
night. I mean, honestly, Steph Curry's not great.
By the way, Thunder Warriors last night, Carmelo got into it with Durant.
Oh, yeah.
All two time. Cream puffs.
We'll get into
two
it.
Two all-time cream puffs.
I know.
Who wants to fight less? It's fantastic.
A couple things that stuck out. I mean, you could tell in these All-Star games, by the way, who fits in, who, like, belongs there.
Yeah.
A couple guys that stuck out to me, like, these guys are perennial All-Stars, and they're one of the top 10 basketball players in the world. Anthony Davis is... He's on the level of Kevin Durant and these guys. He's that good. And the way he's playing right now in the Pelicans proves that. He had 48 points last night.
Somebody's
just playing out of his mind.
I retweeted this, and I'm going to look it up because it's worth mentioning. Somebody basically said, I feel like we're not giving enough attention to what he's doing right now in the last five games. That I was stunned. The numbers were absurd.
He's literally putting up Will Chamberlain numbers. You know, he's putting up numbers like 45 and 24, like just normal. Like, he's literally carrying a team on his back, and there is absolutely no talent on that roster, as we know. But so it's clear to me that he fit in the All-Star. He belonged there. He was one of the guys. You know, like, you know, LeBron James owns that spot. Russell Westbrook owns that spot. James Harden. But he was there. Another guy who fit in very, very well was Joel Embiid. Embiid?
You know that his confidence is not an issue.
Yes, but the way he was carrying, willing to take shots and pass the ball.
He
was clearly an all-star.
He passes the eye test. He belongs there. So this is actually a Boston Celtics reporter from MassLive.com. He's the co-host of Locked On Celtics podcast.
Okay.
Jay King, his name is, he tweeted this tweet, which is a great tweet. Pretty sure more people should be freaking out about Anthony Davis's recent play. The dude is averaging 42.3 points, 14.8 rebounds, 4 steals, and 3 blocks over his last 4 games.
Will Chamberlain.
Just insane.
It's unbelievable.
Insane.
Yeah, I'm saying.
42 and 15?
If that guy gets to free agency,
it's going to be
LeBron James type sweepstakes. There should be a show on ESPN. Decision.
So we do this sometimes, and you and I share our absolute detest and hate and disgust for the New York Knicks.
Okay.
What if a guy like Anthony Davis decided, screw it,
I'm going
to sign with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna take the city over.
Forget it.
I don't understand why it doesn't happen.
How has it not happened?
The thing is that Carmelo Anthony actually tried to be that guy. He wanted to be the face of New York.
And he wasn't.
He said, I'm going to the Knicks. I want to be in New York. I want to be the face of the franchise. And it just didn't work out.
He wasn't good enough.
And he ended up almost reversing and becoming the fall guy.
Carmelo, when he came here, was almost in his prime.
Yeah. He was never that good.
Hold on. He was never as good as Anthony Davis is today.
No, absolutely not.
He just wasn't.
100% correct, yes.
And people don't give enough credit to that. People don't realize that. They think that Carmelo was a top 5 NBA player.
He was a top
15. I don't think he was.
He's a top 15 NBA player. And
yeah.
And you know what? The Knicks gave up too much. We could go into that. We've talked about this many times.
Today is, I believe, the anniversary, because they tweeted that too. The 7th anniversary of that trade.
That was a crazy trade.
Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Timofey Mozgov, a first round
Raymond
pick
Felton.
In 14, a second round pick in 14, Raymond Felton.
They gave up a crazy amount.
Yeah.
And you know what? And if Amari Stoudemire was Amari Stoudemire still, that team could have still won something. It was a trade. But getting off topic, Anthony Davis clearly is one of the top 5 players in the league. He's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
A guy who did not fit in at the All-Star game, I noticed a little bit timid and was playing like he was like almost a college player on the dream team, was Giannis. Giannis did not look
I
was expecting Giannis to assert himself
and
go for the MVP.
You're right.
Talk about MVP guys.
You're absolutely right.
It was clear to me that Giannis did not belong on the court.
You're right.
It's weird because his skill level is
But
insane.
To say that Embiid does and Giannis does, I mean, to me, they're kind of the same guy. I mean, Giannis is shy, so he's more timid.
I'm just saying from
Embiid
the eye test,
like,
though.
Yeah, I hear you.
You watch an All-Star game.
You
notice LeBron James in every single play.
Because they're talking about Giannis being an MVP candidate.
I know.
He's
LeBron.
I know.
Not.
He's the car LeBron's 23. I mean, the way he's playing right now, he's a candidate for MVP. One more thing I want to stick in. You never know where we're going to go on this pod. It's a little bit of a...
Don't apologize.
No, it's not an apology at all. I'm just trying to explain how I got here.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Knicks and how come it hasn't happened in 20 years. They've been so bad. All it would take is one Anthony Davis. There was this incredibly... It's either touching or extremely awkward and weird moment. I don't know if you saw it. It was between Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. They had this sit-down thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Magic was telling him... I missed you, and it's not your fault, and I love you, and they cry
In the 80s.
For about 20 seconds, and I was like, I don't know if this is beautiful or uncomfortable. I just saw it this week. Is it old?
Yes, and it was 3 weeks ago.
Oh my goodness.
In the 80s, the Magic and Isaiah were like best friends.
Right.
Literally, they played in the finals in 1989, and they get like give each other kisses before the game started.
Right.
And they were really, really close.
Okay.
When Magic got HIV,
right,
and Isaiah kind of like...
Shunned him
a little bit and was like uncomfortable around him. And then I think after that, Magic just said, screw you, I'm not your friend anymore. And it's literally been 25 years since they've become friends.
I mean, Isaiah's made his fair share of missteps.
Yes. and Isaiah didn't make the Dream Team 92. He was a guy who deserved to be there, but nobody liked him because everybody hated the Bad Boy Pistons.
I can't imagine why. Nobody likes him today either.
Yes, but everybody hated the Bad Boy Pistons, and it's sort of they had this like best friends did not talk to each other for 25 years. So it was like a big makeup, and it was it was uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, Isaiah Thomas needs Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson is like a god in this country.
In LA,
he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And he's
a very successful individual.
Yeah, he runs the Lakers. And I think Isaiah Thomas doesn't want a job?
No.
You think he wants to be an NBA TV all
But
the
Isaiah
time?
Doesn't need a job because he's still on James Dolan's payroll. Everyone knows
he's still
that.
Running the Knicks.
And that's why Anthony Davis is not coming here. Because Isaiah's still calling the
James
shots.
James Dolan's the owner.
Speaking of the Lakers.
Hold on.
I want to get into this right now.
Okay.
Hey, I'm sorry. I know you're the producer and I just go off script all the time.
I try.
You got to deal with me. It's my bad.
Talent is difficult.
I want to play something for you. We have the best listeners in the country and... We had a listener, we're going to leave him nameless at this point. He's a coworker of mine, actually. And he had this to say. He was quite distressed about something you said last week. So let's play it.
Your co-host listed Kobe ahead of Shaq. There's so many reasons why this doesn't make any sense. I'm so disappointed right now. It's actually insane. You talk about... The end of Shaq's career, Jordan also had a terrible end to his career. He was still the best player ever. That's irrelevant. Secondly, Kobe didn't make the playoffs like 2 years after Shaq left him. Kobe was terrible. He's the most selfish player in NBA history. He's I've told you this before, he's the most overrated player in NBA history. You came out hard against him. That's your.
So hold on. No, I'm gonna let you go. I wanna set this up for you because we're gonna get our first Stan rant here. I'm gonna set this up for you. You and I have discussed Shaq and Kobe hours and hours in our lives. Hours. You were a huge Shaq guy.
He's my favorite player of all time.
He doesn't know that background.
Okay.
But he. First of all, I love our listeners. I'm glad we have passion. I'm glad we have people calling it. What he is expressing. Is Kobe hate.
Yes.
Kobe hate is very powerful. I hate Kobe. You hate Kobe. I believe everyone outside Los Angeles hates Kobe. But that's what makes you, Stanley Gamzon, a student of this game.
Yeah.
You are putting away the Kobe hate, and you've done some research.
Here's the thing. First of all, I blame this on you. You don't let listeners just decide what we talk about in our podcast. They have no right to opine on my rankings. You have the right to argue with my rankings, and I have the right to defend my rankings. I don't give a crap about your stupid fan rankings. Okay, let's just say that first and foremost.
Stan, we're going to lose some listeners.
I don't care.
We got to respect the listeners.
Listen, this is not a call-in show. You know what I'm saying? This is not Mike and the Man. We're taking calls to argue about my rankings. Second of all, I put the rankings down on paper, and you know better than anybody that I hate Kobe Bryant. I've always hated him. I've always felt that he is one of the most overrated players in history of basketball. Laker fans think he's better than Jordan. I think he's like the 10th or 9th or 10th best basketball player of all time, which in the rankings that I put down on paper, Shaquille O'Neal was behind him by one or two spots, which we'll find out when I do my rankings. Now, to address your idiot friend's points.
Hey, relax, Stan.
He said that Michael...
Just say you don't agree with him.
He said that Kobe Bryant was absolutely terrible in the years that they didn't make the playoffs. Do you know that Kobe Bryant averaged 35 points a game one of those years when they didn't make the playoffs? Now, you want to tell me that he was selfish, took 50 shots a game? I'll give you that. But you don't average 35 points a game by accident.
Agreed.
Kobe Bryant was in his prime at that point in time, playing with Smush Parker, an injured Andrew Bynum, Lamar Odom's corpse, and a bunch of other garbage, and he averaged 35 points a game and dragged them to the seventh season. They almost beat Phoenix. I don't know what he's talking about. Missing the play. Missed the playoffs one time. Second of all, when Kobe Bryant got Pau Gasol on that team, who granted is not a, you know, not top 50 of all time in the history of the league, they won two straight NBA championships. Shaquille O'Neal at 2004, basically his career ended. So Shaquille O'Neal had 12 good NBA years, and then when he got to Miami, he was basically a role player until he retired. So
One second. In Miami, I just want to, on the Miami thing, they won a championship.
Yes.
Who
he was the second banana, clearly.
Okay, that's
your argument?
No, I'm not. Okay. I mean, that's where you're going. Wade was very young.
And Michael Jordan's end, he's comparing Shaq's end to Michael Jordan's end. Michael Jordan's retired in 1998. The Washington Wizards don't count, let's be honest. He was an owner of the team. Those games mean nothing to me, okay? Yeah. And by the way, he averaged 20 points a game as a member of the Wizards when Shaq averaged 6 points a game as a member of the Cavaliers and the Celtics. So tell your friend to go shove it. He doesn't know anything about the NBA.
Oh, that's it.
I have Kobe ahead of Shaq.
We lost a listener.
I love Shaq. I've always... Listen, if I had to pick Kobe or Shaq to go have dinner with, it wouldn't be close. But I feel like Kobe's a better basketball player. So I'm not happy about it, but that's what it is.
That was Stan's Rant of the Week, brought to you by Sub Express, home of the Frap. Go get your Frap today.
Listen, the rant thing is for you. Rant thing is for you. I'm just here to help you rant. But this situation, you're playing this guy's feedback.
Do you want where I have Kobe on my rankings? Or
no, when we get to it, we'll talk about it. No, don't. You can't possibly have Mario than me. Because I have Jordan ahead of him, LeBron.
No. I have Kobe ranked...
I have him fourth.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I don't think it's possible.
I'm a couple spots behind.
Right, it's very close.
Let's but play. I have Shaq better than
Kobe. Right, the Shaq-Kobe argument is very close. At the end of the day, when Shaq got traded, Kobe was only in his seventh year. Kobe had another 10 years of basketball. And trust me, again, nobody hates Kobe more than me. I think he's a fraud. I think he belonged in jail, probably. And I'm not a big Kobe Bryant fan. So I'm just trying to be honest with my rankings. All right, I
love it. I love the passion from Stanley.
Listen, I know basketball.
Hey, listeners,
I know it well.
Please hit me up at Silent Bravado on Twitter. Hit Stan up at the Big Show Stan.
Yeah, send me your feedback. It doesn't mean I'm going to acknowledge it on the podcast.
Send the feedback because we love it and we'd love to address it. If it's addressable.
Your friend now is a hate listener. He's going to listen to me and hate me every
time. I don't know if he's... he might not listen again.
We got to cover two more things.
You came at him strong. He came back at you. All-star and love in basketball.
Two more things we got to discuss that happened over the All-Star weekend. There were two big rule changes that are being discussed, and I want to get your thoughts on them. Mm-hmm. First, the NBA is considering very strongly, apparently, to getting rid of the Eastern Western Conference playoffs. There's going to be a 1 through 16 seedings in the playoffs. I don't think this exists in any other sport. There's no such thing as no AFC, NFC. There's no such thing as no AL, NL. They're going to get rid of the conferences when the playoffs start, and they're going to put the playoffs and let them start as is. So basically today, if the playoffs start, the Houston Rockets, who have the best record in the league, would be playing against the 16th-seeded Detroit Pistons in the first round. Now, when you thought about this, what was your first thought? You like this? You don't like this?
So again, something you and I probably discussed for decades. I mean, we've been talking about this forever, how the West is always great. I mean, yes, before, after Jordan, and the East is always subpar. So
like this forever.
Why should those teams suffer, et cetera, et cetera? You and I also, we know nothing about college basketball between the two of us, but we do love the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Which is 1 through 16 seeded.
Correct.
Now, you discussed something else. We're gonna get to this potential play-in game also. Yeah. But every year, whenever that play-in game is over, there is... Western Iowa Community University plays against Duke
State
and loses 102-37.
Right?
I wonder if that's what would happen. I wonder if, like, the Rockets played the Pistons in a 7-game series, if the average margin of defeat would be 48
points.
Yeah,
but that's not that different.
No.
Playing the 8 seed in the West.
That's not true. The 8 seed in the West is so much better than the 8 seed. I saw last night the Thunder played the Warriors. We talked about it briefly, right? The Thunder are in 5th seed. And they're like 2 games out of the 3rd seed. They're also 1.5 games out of the 9th seed.
Right. The West is loaded.
If you lose 3 in a row in the West, you're out of the playoffs. The Clippers are 9.
So it sounds to me like you're arguing for this.
I like it. I'm okay with it.
You want the teams that finish best
league. Major League Baseball. In Major League Baseball, the AL never played the NL. Then they had interleague play. I didn't love it. It added an element. And here it is. If that happens in the NBA, it'll just be something we don't even remember what it was like before, and it won't be bad.
Here's the deal, though.
It'll be fine.
Two things you have to consider. A, if they're doing this in the playoffs, what is the point of the conference?
1 second.
What's the point of the conference during the regular season?
1 second.
What do they accomplish?
I mean, just to sort of take the listeners here, right? That means we could end up with the NBA Finals being the Warriors and the Rockets.
Correct.
Right.
That's what they're going for. They want the best teams to play at the end.
And how many years have we discussed this and we've said, okay, the Western Conference Finals is essentially the championship.
Yes, it's because
it's not good when you have an amazing, epic 7-game series between the Spurs and the Warriors, and then whoever wins that sweeps the NBA Finals.
And listen,
stupid.
When we were growing up, the Lakers won 3 straight championships every year. Lakers Kings and Lakers Blazers was the conference finals.
Absolutely,
was the finals.
Absolutely,
and the Nets were just just a consolation.
What's the point of conferences? Because you play your conference more than you play the same ALNL. What's the point of ALNL? Because they play interleague now. Right.
I think the reason they have to keep the conferences
rivalries
is because of travel.
Travel schedule.
Travel's a problem.
Absolutely.
But in the playoffs, it could be a problem too. If you're going to have the Raptors in round one playing the Clippers, you're going to have crazy amount of travel days.
And I love
playoffs are going to take 3 months.
Love the NBA. I don't usually criticize them. The playoff schedule needs help because
it's too long.
Too many off days in between.
Exactly. But if they go to this format, it's going to be even longer, Mitch. Because we're going to have Pistons playing the Warriors in the first round. There's going to be so much travel.
Russell Westbrook can play on 1 hour of sleep.
That's right. Honestly, you know what? Shockingly enough, LeBron James said we shouldn't do this idea. And obviously, because LeBron wants to be the East and play against the garbage playoff.
Maybe it would convince a guy like LeBron to leave the East. Because now he doesn't have a clear path to the finals.
Don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do I think this one actually is going to pass. The second one is probably not going to pass. But this one, to me, is more interesting than the first one. The second rule that they're potentially going to put in place is the top 6 teams in each conference are going to get guaranteed playoff berths. And the last 14, the last 2 spots in each conference are going to be up for every team that's left in the NBA. So basically, the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Magic are going to get into this big play-in tournament for the last 4 spots with the last like 17 or 18 total teams, and they're going to play one game eliminations, and the last 4 spots are going to win played out. I love this idea. No more tanking. Teams are not going to have the Magic, for example, who are 18 and 40 now, whatever they are basically right alive to be in the playoffs because if they get their injury guys back and they start playing better, they can legit... And you, for example, you, perfect case, Brooklyn Nets are going to have a game that matters in the middle of April. Wouldn't you be very fired up for this?
You know, I love it. I don't have any problem with it at all. I think it's fantastic. Keeps people engaged. You know, the NBA is petrified of the word tanking. It's like their worst swear word.
Yes.
They just fined Mark Cuban $600,000 for comments that he made related to tanking, saying it's probably the Mavericks' best option.
I've never heard anybody say that publicly, an owner.
Yeah, well,
tanking is the right move. Mark Cuban.
Cuban, he's a renegade. And by the way, this story that came out about the Mavericks, I don't want to get into politics on the pod, but Cuban's a sanctimonious guy. And I don't hate Cuban at all.
Yeah.
He's a liberal guy who comes out, we can't accept this, we can't accept that. In the meantime, those guys are always the ones who fall also because under his nose, horrible sexual harassment, horrible.
Years.
And they let the guy stay, even though he was arrested, they put him on probation, they let him stay.
CEO of the franchise.
I know. They let him stay, and he did terrible things. So
it's unbelievable. You expect this stuff to happen in the locker room with the players. The players seem to be treating everybody fairly, and the players seem to be,
Everyone loves Cuban. Everyone loves Cuban. The players like him. The owners like him. The league likes him. He said he's going to take care of this. You know, and Adam Silver
already addressed
his response is immediate. He says we're setting up a hotline. By the way,
every good workplace has a hotline.
My office.
Yes, mine too.
So.
And what the heck is going
the
on?
The NBA is a multi-billion-dollar company. They don't have a hotline. It's $9.99 a month. You set it up. It's not a big deal.
I don't think the NBA realizes that the NBA thinks the franchises run themselves. They're not involved in running their. There's 30 teams, 30 basically different businesses, and then one overarching thing that runs it.
They can thank Steve Ballmer for this, but recently Forbes released the values. Every NBA squad is now worth over $1 billion.
More lawsuits than Mitch. You gotta be very careful.
Yeah,
with this stuff.
Absolutely.
And you know what? The NFL gets a very hard time. At least they have this stuff in place now.
Well, Goodell is
a mess.
Yeah.
I agree, but at least they have these hotlines. This stuff is in place in the NFL. It's been in place.
Well, it took stuff to happen in the NFL too.
Agreed. It's very bad. I don't know we went off topic. We're talking about the playoff tournament.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the pod. You never know where it's
Dallas
going.
Dallas Mavericks could be in the playoff tournament if this works out.
I like the playoff tournament, and I want to see it, and I think
tanking, it's
any way that you can have teams have games that matter till the end of the season is good for the league. You don't want 2 teams playing that have nothing to play for, and it looks like a preseason game. It's not good for the fans that pay the ticket
prices.
It's
already happening now.
Yeah,
it's not. There was a game last night between Sacramento and like the Lakers. There was nobody there.
Yeah.
Phoenix is playing around empty arenas.
It's not good.
So this could work.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll pass, but it could definitely work. Bill Simmons is talking about this.
So if I put a gun to your head and I ask you, which these 2 things... What you're saying, the
playoff tournament for sure
will pass or will not?
Oh, it will pass. What's wrong? What like better?
Will it pass?
No.
No. But the 1 through 16 will, you're saying. Probably. I'll say both will pass.
I prefer the other one to go first through first. I don't care about the East-West. I like the East-West. It changes the history of the league if you change that.
The only argument I'll make to you, Stan, is that nobody really cares about that Raptors-Bucks series.
Agreed. But no one's going to care about the Raptors and the Pelicans.
Maybe they will.
Eastern Conference Championship is a thing. People have banners for that. That's going to go away.
Yeah.
You change those rules. There's no such thing as a conference championship.
I know.
There's no such thing as the East Finals. It's just going to be the semifinals. It's not going to matter as much. It's a little bit of changing the league.
All-Star game East-West getting rid of bothered me, too.
But All-Star game doesn't mean anything.
I know, but I still like East and West.
Agreed. So why? And if you get rid of
it, I know.
If you change the playoffs, you're changing the history of the NBA.
I don't know.
Also, it builds rivalries. The Celtics and the Heat were rivalries. The Spurs and the Warriors and the Thunder are not going to play each other in the playoffs. What a joke is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they will in a later round.
Yeah, but you need that. You need that as a guaranteed setup. I don't know.
I hear you.
Speaking of the Thunder, Russell Westbrook last night, your boy. So last night's game between the Warriors and the Thunders was fantastic, by the way. I don't know if you watched this.
I did watch it.
And then the Warriors won by 30, because that's what the Warriors do.
Yeah.
But set this up for me, because
I didn't mind that they won by 30, because if you watched the game, you understood it was a good game.
Yes, it was very very highly contested.
Exactly. Once the Warriors went on that run, they kind of just, forget
it's
it.
A joke.
They pulled it.
They get hot when Curry and Thompson are making shots, you just might as well turn the game
off. So Thompson was not making any shots.
No, I know.
Thompson was terrible.
Yeah, but Curry got hot, and Durant got hot, and that's it. I mean,
so,
Dow was getting a bunch of, they're doing all their stuff.
So NBA guys talking about defense is like football guys talking about offensive line. But Klay Thompson last night, if you watched him on defense, he wasn't making any shots. He was all over Paul George, and Paul George couldn't do anything. Couldn't get a shot up.
Look, there was points during that game though where Russell Westbrook was doing Russell Westbrook things. He didn't pass for
time. Their offense is
because
I know it's weird. It's
you got Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. These guys can make shots from the sleep. Give them the ball.
Carmelo took over for a stretch, which was all isolation. It was the old Carmelo, and he was making shots. He even spun around and dunked.
He can shoot.
And you're like, hey, that guy can still score.
But during the game, he had an incident because your boy, Zaza Pachulia.
He's not my boy. I hate him. And you know
who injured Kawhi Leonard?
That's right.
He started this Kawhi Leonard business.
That's right.
He stepped under him on a jump shot and basically ended the Western Conference.
He did a Popovich, and they all were angry about it.
He has a reputation for being a dirty player.
Yes, he does.
And last night, he basically, for some reason, Russell Westbrook fell into the basket, and Zaza just fell on top of him.
Right.
Completely unprovoked. Nobody touched him. He just fell over in dirt.
Right.
Tried to injure him.
Right.
So Russell was asked after the game about the injury. And this is going to be our social media moment of the week brought to you by
Diamond Auto Leasing for all your auto leasing and sales needs. Now, the pity of this is that the listeners must go online because with Russ, you need to see his face when he's saying this. I've never seen a man with a better look of disgust than Russ. Reporters ask him innocent questions about what he thinks about this. And you just got to see his face, but take a listen. What do you mean what happened?
I don't know. I couldn't see.
Don't lie. Don't lie. You couldn't see. You saw the replay four times. What happened? Thank you. Don't ask me a dumb question you don't answer to.
Yes!
Did you see it? What did it look like?
What it looked like?
Did anybody touch him? Yes or no?
I didn't see the replay.
Oh, you didn't see it? But why are you asking about something you didn't see?
I just saw
it. Well, then, if you didn't see it, don't ask me a question. Don't ask me dumb questions. Obviously, it was intentional. So don't ask me, was it intentional? Nobody touched me, fell over my leg, tried to hurt me, you know. But hey, that's how I go.
Do you think that's something the NBA needs to look into more?
Hey, man, they'll see it and look at it. You know what I'm saying? They'll see it.
Do you think you've had a couple run-ins with Zaza. Do you think he's a dirty player?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a dirty player. First of all, Russell Westbrook goes after the media the same way he plays basketball.
I love
it. Intense all the way through. I love Russell Westbrook.
That whole exchange is gold. The guy says to him, what was it? So all these players just sit up there. These reporters ask him questions. They know the answers to. And he says to him, what'd you think? And he goes, I didn't see it. You didn't see it. Why are you asking me how to play? You didn't see. I know you saw the replay like four times.
Yeah.
He's like, what'd you think? He's like, I think he did it on purpose. Yeah, he did.
This is the second superstar player that Zaza Pachulia is trying to injure. The NBA needs to suspend this guy.
Throw Zaza out of the league.
Maybe expel him.
He stinks anyway.
Yeah,
he's just a big problem child. Someone said to me this morning, he's not a basketball fan, but he's listening to our pod. He says, I don't really get it. Could you explain it to me? Why don't they just have the 15th guy get out there and punch Kevin Durant in the face? Yeah. Knock him out of the game. What's going to happen? Right? Then they don't have Kevin Durant.
So, send him to sports world.
It's like, yeah, like WWE. Send him out there with a metal chair.
That's not wrestling.
Let him smash Steph Curry's ankles.
But basically,
but Zaza does that. That's what he does.
Unbelievable. I mean, Russ has a right to be upset.
Let me tell you, the Bad Boy Pistons, they did stuff like that. Rick Mahorn would come out and, like, kick a guy in his ankle. I don't know. Whatever.
I think that the Warriors don't need to resort to these kind of tactics.
They shouldn't.
Yeah, you know what?
It's embarrassing for the Warriors to have Zaza. And then I alluded to it earlier. We're running a little short on time. KD and Carmelo, two cupcakes, pretended to fight last night. Shaq. Who was it? Popovich. We talked about it on the pod a couple weeks ago. Said the NBA fights are the weakest thing he's ever seen. Hold me back. Somebody hold me back. That was Carmelo and KD. Definitely not going to throw fists there. So I just want to say
shout out to TKS Capital Solutions.
Always.
You didn't mention them. The presenting sponsor of the podcast.
Always and forever. Thank all our sponsors.
Need real estate?
Absolutely.
TKS Capital. They're looking for new deals.
Okay. And I guess we'll finish off this week by saying, like Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony in a fight, I don't want to be here.